Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 11 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Just so you know, verse 1 is going to be the text verse for this morning. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 11, and we'll read this passage responsively. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence. Did you hear that, Kay? A time to time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And let's pray. Father, we do thank you for what you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you use the truth of today? Lord, so many times we read the Bible casually and we forget who wrote it. You did. These weren't man's words, they were your words. You settled these words before the creation of man. And God, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I'm just a sinner, like every other person in this room. I pray that you'd help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Ecclesiastes 3, if you've been in church very many times, you've probably heard a sermon on this. And you've heard many people preach on, you need to have a time for this and a time for that, a time for this and a time for that. And I'm for that. I'm for schedule. But I think we miss the real truth that God has for us here. I want you to look at Ecclesiastes 3, verse number 1. To everything, there is a season. And a time to every purpose under heaven. I want you to notice something. God, first of all, says there's a season. Then he says there's a time for every purpose. So many times we focus on that word time and we forget the word season. Season. I call the sermon today Seasons and Times. Seasons and Times. I love the different seasons we have here. Now, for 2 years, my wife and I were in Southern California. Brother Barnes, I'm not sure what sounds different, but I don't know that I'm getting anything up here. You might help me just a little bit. It's probably just me. My ears are probably all stopped up from all the chatter that was in them all week long, but if you could help me just a little bit. But I love the different seasons we have. I really do. 2 years we spent in Southern California. The weather in Southern California is beautiful for a few months. But for 24 months, the weather never changed. The only difference was it was about 10 or 15 degrees cooler in the morning for a couple months a year than it was in the summertime. That was the only difference. And I'm not sure what you did there, but it helped just a little bit. But if you can't catch it, that's okay, Brother Barnes. We'll piddle with it later here. But I'll be honest with you, the weather got pretty boring in Southern California. I would play, our church had a couple different softball leagues. You could play softball year-round. It was January, and it's wintertime, And we were out there sweating because they have something in Southern California called the Santa Ana winds. Maybe you all know what I'm talking about. Santa Ana winds, it could be 50 degrees outside and the Santa Anas kick up and all of a sudden it's 80 degrees in the middle of the evening. The hot desert winds come rushing up through the valley there, and it's literally, it'll change 20 or 30 degrees that quick and just stay that way. And these things would blow for weeks at a time. And you could go from what's supposed to be 50 degrees, the Santa Anas kick up, and it's 80 degrees at 10 o'clock at night. And it's just the way it was. The weather didn't change an awful lot. It was the same day after day. Now, I lived in Chicago for quite a while. I hate Chicago weather. Y'all don't know what cold is. Now, my in-laws live in northern Minnesota. They've already been down. We had men's prayer breakfast last Saturday. Brother Mike, I think you were sitting beside me and some others. I think it said 12 or 6. I think it said 12 degrees that morning. They've already been down almost in single digits. They can have that mess. I have no desire. They have, in Chicago, you have two seasons. You have winter and you have road work. Those are the only two seasons there. It's miserable. Now, I love the seasons here. I love the fall. I really do. Now, I don't enjoy it maybe like everybody else does. When you're colorblind, you don't see the colors like everybody else does. But I do enjoy when I get close enough to tell that it's a different color from something else, that it looks nice. But I enjoy the cooler days and the cooler nights. I enjoy the falling leaves. I enjoy hunting season. I'm not afraid to say that. But I enjoy the fall time of the year. I like how that it seems like the earth and nature is getting ready for winter. You see the squirrels gathering things and going back and forth, and the birds and different things. By the way, we're in the second week of November. We still have robins in the area, just so you know. That's a good sign that we're going to have a pretty decent beginning to winter, just so you know. You say, well, I heard they were talking on the news this week about a polar vortex. Folks, that's called the scare tactics of the media. Do you know what a polar vortex is? It's called the northern winds aloft, all right? The northern jet stream. When it comes down a little bit, that happens every year. That's all it is, okay? If you look at a weather map, you'll see the northern winds aloft or the northern jet stream, and it dips down. Whoosh, you say, well, it's cold. It's supposed to be. It's November, December, January, all right? Now, if it happens in June or July and it gets down into the 20s and 30s, that is a polar vortex. But when it happens in January and February, can I tell you something? That's when it's supposed to happen? It's nothing unusual, all right? So don't let the media scare you. But I enjoy the fall. I enjoy winter. Now, I don't like snow, okay? I like my precipitation to just run off. I don't like it stacking up. I grew up in Ohio. I have shoveled more snow than I care to ever shovel again. If I never shoveled another flake, I'd be a happy man. But I don't like snow. You say, well, it's just so beautiful. You didn't live in the Chicago area. Yeah, it's beautiful the first time it hits. And then it turns brown, gray, and then black, and you don't get rid of it till June. All right? You understand. I've been around it my whole life. I enjoy not having snow. But I don't mind even having winter. My favorite season of the year is spring. I like things that are coming back to life. I like the buds. I like the trees when they're in full bloom and the blossoms and everything else. To me, there's nothing prettier than the spring season. And you're warming up the days and the nights from a cold, long winter. And I like coming out of that. Now, folks, no weather is perfect, just so you know. Somebody in this room will complain no matter what the weather is. All right? About 3 months ago, you were complaining about how hot you were. Now you're scared to death that it's going to get cold. Oh, it was 37 degrees or 27 degrees yesterday morning. I can't believe this. You were the ones complaining that it was hot just a couple weeks ago. All right? Hang in there. But I like the summertime. It can't get too hot for me. I enjoy the heat. And I don't care for the humidity, but I'll take it over bone cold any day. Now, my in-laws, hot to them in the wintertime is zero. Amen? Last year, they had over 90 days below zero temperatures during the winter season. God bless them. They can have it. God doesn't live there. All right? I'm telling you, God does not live in northern Minnesota. It's too cold. All right? Now, every season has its own difficulties. Either it's hot, it's cold, it's too wet, whatever it is, but we can find something about it we don't like. But we can find something in it that we like as well. Can I tell you something? Listen to this. Life is made up of seasons. Your life is made up of seasons. You have that infant season. Then you have a childhood season. Then you have that weird stage called teenagers. Say, what are they? Nobody knows. But you have that season of being a teenager. Then you have the season of what I call young adulthood. Then you have those middle age seasons. And then you have the over the hill season. You saw it coming, didn't you, Kay? She was already whispering to her cronies back there. But then you have the latter seasons of your life. And there are others scattered in there, I'm sure. You have the early parenting season, and then we can divide it up however you want, but just listen to me very carefully here. If you're not careful, you're going to live for a time instead of for a season. I want you to notice the Bible says there are seasons and then there's times. So many of us focus on a time that we miss the season. I'm for living by schedule. I really am. I live pretty much so by schedule. I really do. Even on a week like we had a schedule. It was pretty loose, but it was scheduled. Now, I get up fairly early. Kermit and Brother Taylor get up before the chickens. They wake the chickens up after they've had a pot of coffee. Man, you talk about coffee. We went through 2 pounds of coffee in 4 days. Brother Taylor, it's not because I made it extra strong either. I'd get up a little bit before 5 every morning. By the time I showered and got downstairs, Kermit and Gordon had three quarters of a pot of coffee gone. All right, they'd already been up for a couple hours. Say, why didn't you? Because I didn't go to bed at 8:30 like they did. All right, but we lived by a schedule. We would do a couple things each day, and I had it planned out. And we had some light times in between there, but even that was somewhat scheduled. My life is scheduled very much so. My Sunday mornings, I have a routine that I go through every Sunday morning. And I make sure that Brother Gus's class has the coffee on, and I make sure that the lights are on. I check the thermostats. I make sure doors are unlocked. I go through and check every Sunday school classroom. I check the baptistry. Boy, am I glad I checked the baptistry today. There's just all kinds of things that go on, and I make sure everything is set so that when you walk in the door, everything is ready to go. And I have a routine that I go through. Tomorrow morning, I know what my routine is. I know how it will work. I know when I'm getting up. I know what I'm doing. I know when I'll do certain things. You say, why? Because I have a routine. I have a rhythm. I have a set plan that I do for my life. And much of my life is lived that way. Now, people who dislike a season of life often miss out on the daily blessings in those seasons. You say, boy, I had a bad season of life. And some people will use a bad season of life as an excuse to have another bad season, and another bad season, and another bad season. So many of you will have one bad day, and then you end up having a bad week and a bad month and a bad 6 months and a bad year over the fact that you had one bad day. Now, I live by schedule. I believe all successful people live by schedule. By the way, I didn't say all rich people. I said all successful people. I think if you're going to have a successful home, you need to live by schedule. I think if you're going to be a successful parent, you live by schedule. I think if you're going to be a successful student, you live by schedule. I think if you're going to be successful at where you work, you live by schedule. That means you show up when you're supposed to show up. That means you don't leave before you're supposed to leave. That means you have a schedule that you're set by. Now, that will also keep you from living by emotion only. Did you catch that? You see, if you live by your emotions, you're kind of like that, you're living in a circle. You're like the little dog that chases his tail. You're just going after one thing after another. My dog right now, our dog just turned about, 3 months old? I think it's ADHD. This dog, it doesn't matter what it's doing. If you dangle something else out there, it'll stop what it's doing and go after that. It's hilarious. The only thing she doesn't stop for is eating. You say, why? Because she's a bush, all right? But that dog, it's ADHD. I mean, you can be playing with this toy, throw another one in, and she's going after that one, forgot that one already. And she plays with that one, throw this one in, and she's just like a BB in a steel room, amen? You say, what is that? That's the average person in life. The average person in life just goes from event to event to event to event to event to event, and they have no purpose to what they're doing. They're like a stick floating down the river. Wherever it gets caught or however fast the current's going is what they're doing. Now, you can run in circles if you want. I'm not running in circles. Amen. I've learned that there are both times and seasons in life. Now, listen to this statement. Seasons are as predictable as the calendar. Seasons are as predictable as the calendar. Times are the events that come and go in those seasons. Seasons are as predictable as the calendar. Times are those things that come and go within each season. Let me try to say it this way. Seasons march on with or without you, whether or not you're ready for them. Times may or may not come and go away. Do you know that whether you like it or not, winter's coming? You don't have to like it, but guess what? December 21st, it's here. I'm just waiting for March 21st so it turns into spring. Okay, you can wait till March 21st till it turns into spring, but you still got to survive winter. And whether you're ready for it or not, it is coming. So we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, and I'm just not ready. Okay, whether you like it or not, November 27th is Thanksgiving, and it's coming. Now, ladies, I know November 28th is your favorite day because that's Black Friday. But we got to live through Thanksgiving and eat first. Amen? Amen. You can go shopping all you want on November 28th. I'm not coming near a store. Yeah. I mean, no way. All that pushing and shoving, I might hurt somebody. It's crazy. Now, seasons are predictable. Times are not. Too many people focus on the times and they do not get ready for the season of life. So many people get bogged down with the times that as the seasons change, they try to go back and live a season that has already changed. Did you catch that? I want to get the most out of my life. I want to squeeze every drop I can out of life. I really do. I don't miss much, right, senior citizens? I catch it all. Now, I don't always comment on it, but I, with them, I do. You say, why? Because it's kill or be killed with that crowd. But I want to experience all of the right things in life that I can. Now listen to me very carefully. I want to get the most out of my seasons. But I also want to get the most out of my time. I don't want to miss the seasons. I don't want to miss the times. I want to enjoy the seasons, but I'm not going to let times rob me of my seasons. I don't like snow. But if it's out there, I might as well use the four-wheeler and plow the parking lot and enjoy it. Amen. Until I back up and knock the awning over. I want to manage my times so I can enjoy my seasons. See, this is where we're headed in this morning's sermon. I don't want to live in the past, nor do I want to worry about the future. I want to live this season, not in regret of the past and fear of the future. I want to unlock a truth to you today. I call it, don't get mad at me, I don't live in the what-if world. Living in the what-if world is not living in the season. You're wondering what did happen and afraid of what will happen. I don't live in a what-if world. I live in reality. If you'll listen to me for about the next 20, 25 minutes, I can help you. Number one, live to make the most out of each season of life. Live to make the most out of each season of life. Learn to enjoy the season of life you're in now. Learn to enjoy the season of life you're in now. My wife and I are changing seasons of life. Our oldest son just got married this year. That means, oh Lord, the word grandpa and grandma is not too far around the corner and not too distant future, I'm sure. Now, I'm not quite sure I'm ready for that, but by the time it gets here, I'll make myself ready for it. I'm too young to be married to a grandmother. We're just not quite ready for that, but we're getting ourselves ready for it. Come May, we're going to graduate the last one. By September, she's gone. Amen. And I'm getting ready for another season of life. You say, what is that? I'm going to enjoy the season I'm in right now. Do you know I can't go back, nor do I want to go back, to be 25 years old with a newborn baby? Thank God I don't have a newborn baby. I don't want one. Now, Schenenbergers are expecting after this trip, but I got pictures to prove it. Amen? They had a big announcement. We are expecting. And by the way, so are the Brinings. And they're going to name their son Isaac. All right? But I'm very pleased that I don't have the season of life where I'm thinking about having a newborn baby. New way. If you ever found out that happened, you're going to do a funeral for your preacher, amen? Because either it's going to be murder or suicide or both, all right? I'm done with that season of life, but I'm getting ready for another season of life. Now, learn to enjoy the season of life you're in and manage the times that come within that season. Boys and girls, can I teach you something? If you're 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, quit worrying about and quit looking forward to being a teenager. Enjoy being in the season of life you're in now. Boys and girls should not try to live like adults. By the way, adults shouldn't live like a child either. We got too many 40 and 50-year-old teenagers running around. You know, that's the guys with the long ponytails that are riding Harleys all over the place thinking they're 15 to 20 years old again. You know, let's enjoy the season of life we are in. By the way, listen to this statement. past seasons cannot be relived or made up for. My garden is officially done. We must have got a cold enough morning to kill everything while we were gone. And that's fine. Before I left, I made sure I picked everything and got everything off that I could get off. Guess what? Growing season's over. If I went out and planted lettuce right now, it's not going to grow. If I go out and plant tomato plants right now, they're going to freeze out and burn out probably by tomorrow morning. Can I tell you why? Growing season's over. I got to wait till spring. Everybody understand that? Guess what? You can't go back and relive any of your life either. Quit grieving over a part of life that's over. Ladies, quit grieving. If you're in your middle 40s and beyond, quit grieving over the fact that you're not going to have babies anymore. Can I tell you something? Thank God for the ones you had and look forward to grandkids. Amen. Go work in the nursery to get your baby fit out of the way. It doesn't matter. Whatever the case, quit grieving over what you cannot have again. Quit regretting what did happen. You know, some of you did not get saved till a little bit later in life. Quit grieving over that. Thank God you got saved. Well, what if I would have... You can't live in the what if world. It didn't, so go on with what you have. Well, if I would have, some of you are living with so much regret that you forget the blessing of being saved. Well, I had a bad past. And you blame everything that goes wrong in your life on a bad past. Well, my mom and dad weren't affectionate people, so I'm struggling with my husband or my wife because my mom and dad weren't affectionate. No, you know enough about life. Doesn't matter what did happen. You can be kind and gentle and loving to your spouse no matter what. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm not for divorce. I don't counsel people to divorce, but whatever marriage you're in right now, stick with it and hang on till the end. Now, I'm not against divorced people. You all know that. I heard a preacher not long ago get up and tell a group of people that he doesn't even understand why divorced people are allowed to join a church, and he didn't think they should, and he's an idiot. Right. Yes, just so you know, I'm not for that. Now, if you've been divorced and remarried, stay with the one you're at, make the best of it, and go on. Love the one you have. Quit regretting what did happen. Don't take it out on your current spouse for what happened in a different marriage. Everybody doing okay? Say, well, I made a mistake as a young person. Okay, why are you carrying it with you when you're 40, 50, 60 years old? Don't forget where you came from, but quit living with regrets in the past. You can't change it. Get the most out of this season of life. By the way, look forward to the next season of life by living this season of life right. Did you catch that? Look forward to the next season of life by living this season of life right. These senior citizens, Lord have mercy. I decided I'm going to take a miniature golfing. Not only once, but twice. The first time we're out there, we get to the second hole. There was a group of four, and then my wife and I golfed in between both groups so we could kind of herd the cats. The Eckers group were behind us, and Brinings and the Schenenbergers and whoever was ahead of us. We get to the second hole. I'm done. There's a group ahead of us waiting at the third hole. We're waiting. And all of a sudden I hear, oh no! I thought somebody fell and broke their hip, you know? I look up, Kay Eckerd hit the ball, it went past the hole, it went over the hole, it went up over the fence, out into the road, into traffic. Now I got to jump a fence, stop traffic, chase down a stupid pink ball, pick it up, let traffic go, run back, jump over a fence, and there's people watching us. I said, man, these old people, I can't take them anywhere. And they're going, you know. I finally get the ball back to Kay. And then Brother Taylor. He hits the ball. It goes down this thing. It hops that hole, goes across the next one, hops that one, and plops down into a pond. Mike Schenenberger and I are trying to swim out and get into this pond to get this stupid ball back. And I'll be hanged. I get through the hole, and Mrs. Ecker does the same stupid thing. So now I'm down, and here's Arlene Schenenberger. Oh, there's another one, and there's another one. Can you get those two? I got teenagers out there and young married people. And I said, I can't take these people anywhere. There was people that worked there that was following around just to watch it because it was entertaining. It was hilarious. Laugh. You know, it's great to watch them. They're having fun until they got to put the ball down to start. And you hear this. Amen, Brother Brining. It's hilarious. Now, they're planning on going miniature golfing around here, but they've already figured this thing out. They're going to get one of those little grabber things to take with them and put the ball down with it so they don't have to bend over as much. Thank God Mike Schenenberger's got a sore back from picking up everybody's ball, amen? But, folks, we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Can I tell you what? That's what it's all about. You can enjoy miniature golf, Mrs. Brining. Well, let's go play real golf. I said, Mrs. Brining, you have to carry a whole bag of clubs and walk 18 holes. I'm not going then. She said, can't we drive one of those things? I said, I've seen you drive. I'm not letting you out there that way. I said, there's such thing called course etiquette, and none of you could pass it, all right? Not a one of you. Oh, my soul, laugh until we hurt. You say, what were we doing? We were enjoying that season of life. Brother Taylor, can I tell the Monday night story? Hang on. Those of you that did not go to the washroom might have to after this. Okay, you better leave now. But we got there Monday, and we had an 8-bedroom cabin, 8 bathrooms. Every bedroom had its own bathroom and stuff. It was great. It was probably close to 4,000 square foot, I'm guessing, Brother Mike, at least. Great accommodations. We had a kitchen and two living rooms. Upstairs had a huge living room and pool table and air hockey and foosball. And I mean, it was just huge. Brother Taylor plopped his stuff down in the first room. You say, why? Because he wasn't walking any farther. And got in there, and he said, man, this has got one of them fancy tubs. It's got the little jets in it. He said, I'm going to do that tonight. These old bones, that'll feel good. We finally got back that night. He said, I'm going in there in that fancy tub. About 30 minutes later, he come out. He was the most disheveled-looking senior gentleman you've ever seen. Now, he was dressed, but you could tell he had had a tough time in there. Somebody said, Brother Taylor, what happened? He said, shoot, that stupid tub. He said, I started putting water in that thing, and it said, push here for jets. Well, he only had about that much water in the bottom of a tub that was supposed to have that much water, and whoever had cleaned the tub had moved one of those nozzle things. And he hit that button, and it was coming right at him. Hit him square in the forehead, shot it all the way across the bathroom, clear into the bedroom. He said, I think my bed got wet even. Now, we can't tell any more of the story, but we've been laughing ever since. I don't know how long it took him to get the water off to get those jets off. But he had a mess. He was looking for mops and everything else. Oh, my soul. Can I tell you what? Look forward to that stage of life where you can get away with it. I looked at one of them. I don't even remember who I asked it. I said, why do you all act like this? He said, all we got to do is say we're old. We didn't realize it. He said, we can get away with it. I thought, now that's pretty sharp, amen? You do know what the difference between blonde and gray is, don't you? Gray has an excuse. Ellen, that does not work for you. All right, but can I tell you something? Learn to enjoy the season of life you're in. Can I tell you something? You can get old and grumpy, or you can get old and have fun. Now, you might not be able to do everything you once did, but there's still things you can do. And some of them find out things they didn't know they could do that they still could do. Can I tell you something? When you change seasons, you don't have to quit what you did, but you can add another season to it. Brother Hiles had a statement he used to say called, be a childish juvenile adult. Believe me, they got the childish and juvenile down. The adult part they're still working at, but they got the childish and juvenile down. Do you know that at 47, I haven't stopped having fun? I still have a teen part of me. I still have a childish part of me. I'm still developing the adult part. I've watched enough adults to not know what an adult is, especially after this last week. Now, wait a minute. You know, I don't have to change, but I'm to add to it. Now, an adult means you've learned when to do what. I really am convinced of that. I've taken the teenagers on the same trip. Now, I have to keep them a little busier because they're not adults yet, and I got to keep them busier to wear them out so that they don't get in trouble. It doesn't matter what I do with the senior citizen crowd, they're going to be in trouble. And then they blame it on me. I don't know that I'll ever forget that waitress's face. Thanks, Dad! And then she brings the bill really sheepishly. I said, it's okay, I'll take it. Okay. And hands it to me. It was hilarious. I said, don't worry, I'm not Dad. I'm just their pastor. But don't blame me for the way they act. And it was a lot of fun. Can I tell you what? They were enjoying this season of life. I heard most all of them say, hey, if you can't laugh at this age, you're not, you know, laughter's like a medicine. If that's the case, they're never going to the doctor ever again. We laughed enough to take care of three pharmacies, I'm sure. So number one, learn to live the most out of each season of life. Number two, the times come in every season. The times come in every season. So many times we go through this passage and we say, well, there's a time for this and a time for that, a time for this, time for that, time for this, time for that. That's true, but they come in every season of life. Do you know that when I was a child, I went to funerals? Do you know that as a teenager, I went to funerals? Do you know that as a young adult, we went to funerals? As a middle-aged person, I'm still going to funerals. And you senior citizens still go to funerals. There's a time to live and a time to die in every season of life. These things come and go in virtually every season of life, just at a different level. Do you know that sickness comes in every season of life? Did you know that children throw up? Did you know that senior citizens throw up? Amen, Kay? Then they got to dig their teeth out of places. can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what season of life. You ought to see the look I'm getting right now. It is not healthy. I'm glad my wife is cooking at home today and nobody's coming over. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what season of life you're in. These times will come. Did you know that there is successful times in every season of life? And there's times of failure in every season of life. Every one of them. So it's not the times that make you successful. It's those seasons. Times are for a purpose in each season. Notice that the time is not the purpose. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. God said, here's a season, and these times are going to come your way. Manage those times so that you get the most out of each season of life. I loved the time I had with my dear friend and my hero, Dr. Jack Hiles. That was a time, and I think I could even say that was during a season of my life. But can I tell you something? The season has changed. Brother Hiles has been in heaven for 13 plus years, and life keeps marching on without him. My life did not stop because on February 6th of 2000, Brother Hiles stopped living. 2001. The seasons kept going. I know people who have changed because one person died. I decided there was more life to live. I know people who have changed direction and changed doctrine over the fact that Brother Hiles died. That's stupid. Brother Hiles was not God, and the fact that he died proved it. Even though we knew it long before then. Times are to teach us what does and does not work, so that we can live that season or the next season better. That's what history is all about. Times teach us that we are not God. Guess what? Aren't you glad you're not God? I'm glad you're not God. You know, times teach you that God's in control, not man. You know, we manage the times given to us to enjoy and be strengthened, not to regret. Regret steals life. Do you know what the word regret means? I love this. It means to sorrow or mourn again. There are people in this room, you have stolen part of your life by living in regret. Yes, sir. You go back to another time, relive it, and you're stealing life from this time. Yes, sir. Brother Taylor's my friend. I love Brother Taylor. He's one of the most jolly people you'll ever meet. But Brother Taylor's at every 2 months, he goes back to the grave of his dear wife. He takes every 2 months, goes back, spends a little bit of time at her grave, remembering her, loving her in his memory, and maybe missing her a little bit more. But you sure wouldn't have known that on this trip. Good night, he was flirting with every woman there. Every waitress, how many rings did you make while you were gone? Give them away. Good night. Say, what was that? Did he not miss his wife? Oh, yes, he did. He really missed her when Mrs. Brining chewed him out. I hadn't seen him back up since his... I told him that night. I said, man, I haven't seen you back up like that since your wife chewed into you. He said, I haven't been talked to since my wife died like that. Man, and we laughed about it. Can I tell you something? Regret means you go back and remourn, revisit, and relive and steal from the present. Build memories. Quit wishing to have old ones back. Some of you have good memories of what did happen, and you're stealing from building memories right now. Folks, I enjoyed last week, but last week's over and I love being with our senior citizens. I'm not going to steal the memories that we're building right now. I'm not going to steal the memories we had at the restaurant last night. Say, why? Because I'm not going to steal the memories from today. Well, I wish we could go back. No, I don't want to go back. We already lived it. And there's some things that shouldn't be relived. We already lived it. I'm looking forward to today. And I'm going to build on what we had. I hadn't planned on making it an annual trip. I'm not sure they're going to let us come back next year. Good night. Brother Taylor had the police called on him at least twice. And, you know, folks, we'll probably do it again. Great. And I'll look forward to doing it again when the time comes, but it's not time to wait 12 months to think about it. Everybody doing okay? I'm not going to steal today over what did happen or over the thought of what might happen. I'm going to live today. Can I tell you something? Let me use Brother Taylor again. You can sit there and grieve and mourn and regret, or you can invest and make somebody else happy with it. I watched that man make waitresses and different folks smile all week long. Though he missed his spouse of a lifetime, he invested that love elsewhere in an appropriate way, usually. He was trying to pawn off Ellen with one of the places we stopped at to get gas with another person. I think we got cheated. I think you should have offered $2, not $1. Now, wait a minute. Number three, and I'm done. Times do not change seasons. You can allow times to keep you from having good seasons, though. Did you catch that? Times do not change seasons. But you can allow times to keep you from having a good season. My grandfather, my mom's dad, passed away when I was 13 years old. You know, my wife never met him. My children never met him. It didn't change the season, though. There were more seasons of my life to live. Just because I lost somebody in a very important time of my life doesn't mean that life stopped for me. You see, the seasons are set on the calendar. Nothing's going to change them. Seasons do not stop for the good or for the bad. Seasons do not change for the good or for the bad. It's hunting season. It's not crude, but a little bit of a hunting illustration here. It's hunting season. The rut should be in full kick this week and next. You know, not one time while I was away with the senior citizens, honestly, I didn't even think about hunting. I was laughing too hard. If I'd have been in a tree stand, I'd have fell out, broke my neck, and died. I'll be honest with you. I'd give up hunting in a rut to go on another trip with these folks because I laughed until I cried. Kay Eckerd laughed till other things happened, but, you know, hunting season. There's a season for it. You know, if I miss hunting season, I can't go back and relive it. I've got to wait for it to come around again. Planting season. I cannot go back and plant what I did not plant in the spring and plant it now. I got to wait. Can I tell you something? Some of you, your children are grown, and you regret some of the things you did because you didn't know some of the things you know now. And by the way, if you'd have known then what you know now, you wouldn't have had them anyway because you're too wise to have had them. You see, you can't live in regret. Some of you have, you may have had a marriage that failed and you're remarried. Okay, it failed. You're in a good one. Stay with it. Whether it's good all the time or not, there's no marriage that's good all the time. You say, why? Because there's two sinners involved. But you can enjoy the one you're in with the partner you have for the rest of your life. Well, I'm not enjoying my age. Nobody enjoys their age. You're either looking forward to getting older or you wish you were younger. That's just a fact. But can I tell you something? Enjoy the age you are now. Amen, Brother Taylor? Shoot, he can flirt with the waitresses and get away with it. He can make people smile. And if he gets in trouble, he'll just say, oh, I didn't know I did that. I did what? I learned a few things from them. Amen? Can I tell you something? Teach your children to enjoy the age they are now. And don't get mad at me. I think it's dangerous for smaller children to constantly and only be around adults. They need other children. They need to learn how to be a child. They need to learn how to be a teenager. God called me to preach early. I was 13 years old. I started preaching. I dealt with my first suicide at 16. I walked into Scott Pauley's room after he'd taken a 12 gauge, put it in his mouth, and pulled the trigger. I got there before the ambulance got there. I helped the ambulance attendants put him on to a stretcher in a body bag and grabbed a rag and started wiping his brains off the back wall of his bedroom at 16 years old. I'm not mad for the way I was brought up. I wished I wouldn't have seen that at 16, though. I wish my youth director and my pastor would have known what I know now. I'd have never been there. If I would have been taught earlier that would have been the preacher, not another 16-year-old to be there, it would have been a little better. I don't regret it, just so you know. But just so you know, my 16-year-olds do not see those things. Say why? That's not what a 16-year-old should be experiencing in life. Just so you know. Some of you need to let your children be children. You know, don't expect an 8-year-old to act like an 18-year-old. Let them be an 8-year-old. Play with them as an 8-year-old. Teach them 8-year-old things. Now, teach them good character. Teach them good work habits. But at the same time, a 15-year-old is not a 25-year-old. You know, my daughter is 16. She'll be 17 in a few days here. I don't expect my 16, 17-year-old daughter to live like I do at 47. Say why? I got 30 years on her. I got 30 years of a rugged, tough, hard schedule. I don't expect my 16, 17-year-old daughter to live my schedule. Everybody doing all right? I think it's dangerous to, and I don't think children should not interact with adults. Don't get me wrong. But children, you shouldn't try to joke with adults like adults joke with adults. Joke with children and tell childish humor. Don't try to be an adult. You young married couples, quit trying to live at the financial level your parents live at. You young people need to realize when live at the financial level your parents did at your age. Now that's a whole different story. Some of you, if you're 25 years old, married and have a kid, if you don't have two brand new cars and plasma TVs and this, that, and the other thing like your parents have, then you're worried that you're going to not make it in life. They didn't have them at 25 either. Some of you are trying to live at a level that you see your parents living now or your grandparents that they didn't have when they were your age. Let me say this and I'm done. You can't make up for a bad season. You know, the farmers that did not have a good crop this year can't make up for it this year. It's over. Get the most out of now. Use the lessons of a bad season to keep next season from being bad. Bad seasons are not always your fault, but it's still a bad season. I'm done, but let me say this. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let me read something to you. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Can I tell you something? If you're not saved, this is the time. This is the time. And by the way, if you have lost loved ones, this is the time to tell them. You don't have to wait for a certain season. It's the time. The Bible says this is the time of salvation. Well, what age is a child accountable? The time of accountability is when they understand right from wrong and heaven and hell and sin. There's no set age. It's when they understand those times. It's not a certain age. For some it could be 4. Some it might not be till 6, 7, or 8. Okay. There's no set age. There's no age of accountability. There is a time of accountability. That's what God said. Let me ask you a question. What season of life you're in? No matter what it is, how's it going? Some of you are so focused on the time that you forget the season that you're in. Let's learn to live the season of life we're in and manage our times. That's what God means in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Huh. Let's quit focusing on those times. Let's manage them. Let's focus on those seasons. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Please don't lie. Nobody's looking. But who would say, preacher, that's me. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Is there one, and I won't embarrass you, just like I did not embarrass them, that would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd like to go, that I'd go to heaven. I'm just not sure of that. Would you raise your hand? All right. There's a little one or two. In a moment, we'll stand. Maybe you've not been managing your time well. Maybe you haven't been living in the right season of life. Maybe you just need to use this altar and get some things squared away between you and your God.